takes more than a minute. But just beyond the brokenness, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Though you're weeping, ask for the evening. Your sorrow may stay for the night. Keep your eyes at your heart, still believing. Cause your God tells the sun when to rise. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. What kind of love is this that wins every battle? All you have to do is just be still. It's not gonna end like this. He's always delivered, and he always will.
Well, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or thank goodness it's Friday. How's everybody doing? This is CA, on-air personality, on the iHeartRadio network in central downtown Fort Worth here at the iHeartRadio studio, Face Studio 1 in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. We are sitting at about 89 degrees, looking at 110 today. Oh my goodness. We got a great show lineup. Today is Billy Graham Fridays. Yes, indeed. Here a little later, we're going to be talking. He's going to be talking in 1997. He did a crusade in Columbus, Ohio. It's going to be entitled Be Converted as a Little Child. Also, we got Popcorn Bob is here at the studio this morning, and Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. But first, we got to get two things rolling. That is our James Brown song. Got to get you feeling good on a Friday morning. And don't forget, here in a little while, we're going to be our traditional give me a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning after we get through interviewing our round table with the gentleman. And we also got Texas prayer requests. Got four of them we're going to be doing here. But let's get the Friday dance going. David Bowie, kick it off for us.
Put on your red shoes.
There we go. All right, David Bowie. Thank you so much. All right, everybody stand by. We're going to get ready to call the Popcorn Bob up. In fact, you know what? Let's go ahead and do the popcorn. You ready? Let's get Popcorn Bob going here. Here we go.
Whoops.
Wrong one. Sorry, Popcorn Bob. All right, here we go. I think I'm losing it today. There we go. Got to have the popcorn. All right, I've been waiting for this. Let's give him a cheer. How about a mighty hand clap for Popcorn Bob? Give him some morning crow at the studio this morning, what do you say? All right, quit laughing at him, audience. Give me a whistle. All right, let's give him drum roll. Fanfare. Countdown for Popcorn Bob, the popcorn-y.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, very happy to say on a TGIF, thank God it's Friday, for a little mini round table. I've got to introduce your friend, my friend, all the way from Fort Worth, Texas, on the other side, the west side, Popcorn Bob. Hello, Popcorn.
Well, hello there, CA. How you doing? Oh, my goodness. I'm finally going to have a little mini round table with the Deacon. Oh, how exciting is that?
That's right. You're going to be having a round table with the Deacon. He's sitting over there with a cup of coffee, rolling his eyes like, oh, brother. This is going to be kind of interesting. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Also, we got some prayer requests we're going to be doing on this round table, too, as well. This is going to be a little fun. And then we got the John Wilder coffee song. Another Christian music song, and then we're going to kick right into Billy Graham Fridays. You got to keep it kind of entertaining. And, you know, before I finish off here, guys, before I get ready to introduce the Deacon, I want to remind you, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for Popcorn Bob or the Deacon, feel free. You can email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, like me on my Facebook page, okay? The Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Check that like button. Click on station information. When you do that, copy and paste our phone number. You can put it on contacts, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast, text a prayer. Guys, I'd just love to take care of reading your prayers on the air and everything. All right, Popcorn, are you about ready to, Popcorn Bob, are you about ready to, let's get the Deacon on?
Get the Deacon on. I need to talk to old Deke here. He's been wanting to challenge me on some things, so we need to find out what that old boy's up to.
Okay, here we go. Here we go, fan favorite. Y'all ready for him? Deacon Paul Brown, Castleberry, Baptist Church, Tyler, Texas, coming up.
I got all my
There we go. All right, well, let's give him a mighty cheer. Let's give him a hand clap. Give him some morning crow. All right, quit whistling, Eddie. Popcorn, what are you looking at over there, Eddie? Drum roll. Fanfare. Countdown for the Deke.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Fan favorite, number one fan favorite. I think it's going to be a competition between him and Popcorn Bob, your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Hello, Deacon.
Well, there should never be any kind of competition there, CA, because I got to tell you right now, I'm looking directly at Popcorn Bob, and I see that he's got me a little present here. Bob, you want to explain it? By the way, I'm Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas, and I just want to tell you now, I am the head deacon and the choir director. Yes, I can sing.
Okay. Well, what do you think about that there, Popcorn Bob?
You know, that old boy over here, he don't really impress me too much. I'm glad he's doing work for the Lord. Yes, Deacon, I've got you something here. It's a tin can with popcorn in it. It's mixed with caramel and cheese. Open it up. Well, as long as it ain't like a jack-in-the-box where you turn the thing and then it pops up with a little clown, even though CA knows that I'm kind of clowny sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we get that. We get that, buddy. Well, I wanted to have a little brief mini roundtable, and then I wanted you to share something that Miss Mildred did that's kind of funny with your coffee. And I'm not going to talk about it over the air, but we want you to share that. And then Popcorn Bob wants to share something about what happened to his popcorn, one of his popcorn machines. Bob, I presume that you have a bunch of popcorn machines.
See, it's like an industry. Let me tell you, we got quite a bit, probably about, we probably have about 5 popcorn machines.
Okay. Do you do speedy delivery like Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
I sure do. Well, on the cool days, now we sometimes have Uber, these guys with Uber do the deliveries on online deliveries because it's a little bit easier if you catch my drift, you know, for birthdays and stuff like that. Oh, really? Because my birthday's coming up here rather rapidly, and I don't just want popcorn, I need some moolah. Can you give me some moolah? Deacon, shut up.
All right, let's keep it clean, guys. This is a Christian comedy. Okay, well, so here we are doing a little mini roundtable. And I just wanted to talk to you guys just briefly, and then we're going to go ahead and let the deacon, he's going to do his thing, okay, and talk about something kind of hilarious, something kind of funny. So, anyway, so going into this bright light of different things that's kind of going on, you have your popcorn business. Deacon is the deacon of the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. He's also the choir director.
You know, CA, the way I look at it, and I love the Turnip Cafe. In fact, Popcorn, when you get a chance and you get a chance to come to Tyler, Texas, I want you to come out to the Turnip Cafe. And I want you to experience all the coolness of the food. It is so delicious. Now, my favorite is the chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, as Mark Lowry would say, that gravy fools all the way through and everything. So this is going to be a great time. We're going to have fun, and we're going to have some fellowship together. And CA, you're more than welcome to come.
You know, I appreciate that, Deacon. If I ever get a chance to, I certainly will. Thank you so much for the invite. Popcorn, what do you think about that?
You know, I think that's kind of nice, and Deacon, I just want to invite you sometime down to Popcorn Bob's store, and let me tour you around my 5 popcorn machines, and let you have a little bit of a trial taste each one. How's that sound?
Well, that sounds good there, Bob. It's a definite invitation. Sounds wonderful.
Okay. Sounds like a winner, doesn't it, guys? So, has everybody been staying cool and staying out of the heat and everything? I hope everybody has. It's been rather challenging, hasn't it? You know, our temperatures, like I was saying on the air, our temperatures has been well up in the hundreds and everything, like 110. And we got a lot of prayer requests, guys. I want to kind of break in here a little bit because this is, I need both of y'all to pray with me, along with a body of, you know, we're body believers and our radio listeners. And I know our show's kind of going a little bit longer than anticipated. Alice writes me in Pennsylvania and says, good morning, CA. I love the Deacon, and I'm also love Popcorn Bob. They're both here today in the studio with me. She has, please pray that God continues to break the hold and fear of health anxiety in Jesus' name. You know, we all go through, Alice, we all go through anxiety issues. But you know what? God's always got you. You hang tough and you give it all to the Lord. He's going to hold you tight and secure, and he has a master plan for you. And Deacon, you know as good as I do, you've suffered from anxiety, not with Miss Mildred, of course, let's not say that, but you have, haven't you?
See, yeah, I have, and I'm going to tell you something, Alice. I just want to give you some words of hope and just say to hang in there and just take it easy and take a calm thought, listen to podcasts, maybe listen to this podcast, and then maybe listen to some Christian music and think of happy thoughts. Keep you a lunch sack or something close by. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Just think of calm things. Don't think of anything because it kicks in. It triggers, not that I'm a doctor, but it triggers this anxiety.
And I just want to say the same thing. I agree with Deacon. It's Popcorn Bob, by the way. And I just want to tell you, think of happy thoughts because that's the good thing about it. And know that God is with you all the way.
There you go, fellas. I agree. So let's just pray. Dear Jesus, we just pray for Alice in Pennsylvania. We pray for breakthrough in her health and her anxiety, and we lift it up and give it all to you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cliff, guys, we got to go rapidly on this. I got 3 more. Cliff in Maine writes me, CA, pray to God for restoration of my workout. I believe it, even if it's little by little, I still believe. Absolutely. Cliff, good morning to you. We are going to pray for restoration on your workout. It sounds like you're trying to get back in the workout things, so we're just going to come together as body believers and as radio listeners. We're going to lift it up and give it to you in Jesus' name. So, dear Jesus, we just pray for Cliff. We just pray for restoration on his workout. We want to believe through you, through him, he's going to be able to make it through little by little. And we lift it up and give it all to you as a body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Okay. I got an anonymous one in the United States. Good morning, CA. Radio Land listeners on iHeartRadio. Pray for me to have wisdom on how to guide my children. Pray for protection and that they will make good choices. Absolutely. Even in the ages that my kids are at. And Deacon, your children, because you're grandparents. And Popcorn Bob, I'm sure you are too. We want to pray for our kids every day, and that they do make good choices in a crazy world. So we're going to lift it up and give it all to you. So dear Jesus, I just pray for wisdom and guidance on this anonymous listener, praying for protection of her children and that they make the right choices. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray, and I agree. Amen.
In Jesus' name we do pray. And you know, I've been there too. In Jesus' name we pray. 110% total agreement. Amen.
Amen. All right, one more. Tanya in the United States writes me, good morning, CA. Will you pray that God will give me peace in my stress and lead me in making big decisions, namely the right real estate agent, going to Bible college, and the dating relationship I am in? Absolutely. You know what? I will say on the dating relationship, keep God first place. Let God take full reins of your relationship, and it's going to be okay. Bible college, very excited for you. I was in Bible college. It's a very happy time, especially when you're doing ministry work and working for the Lord. Big decisions. We're going to pray in Jesus' name for that too as well. So, dear Jesus, we pray for Tanya. We pray for that you give her peace and her stress and that you lead her in making these big decisions, making, you know, of course, also the right real estate agent. And also, she's going to Bible college and in a dating relationship she's in. God, I just pray you just keep your hands on her and you take care of her. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And I agree in 110% total agreement. Amen. All right. One more thing, guys. Let's play a little bit of this. Feel the Spirit. Okay. Deacon, before we get ready to close out with you two, it's been fun roundtable, a little mini one. So, I need you guys to tell me. Deacon, tell me about your coffee situation.
Well, the other day, Miss Mildred knew that I had to get ready to go to the church. And I had to have myself a cup of coffee, because you got to have a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning to get rolling. So anyway, make a long story short. Instead of making coffee.
Yeah?
Now see, yeah, I'm talking, instead of making coffee, if you catch my drift. Come on now, Deacon, tell him about it.
Okay. Yeah?
She put hot tea in that CA. Hot tea as I walked out and on my way to church. Can you believe that? I drank tea. I thought I was going to be spitting it out, so I had to go to McDonald's and get myself cafe mocha, just like producer Dave does.
Oh my goodness gracious. So let me get this right. It was not an April Fool's joke, because they do have, Keurig does have these tea things that you put in there and you squeeze in, it creates the tea, right?
That's right. And she has some because she loves tea. So she didn't call me up right when I got to the church after I drank it, partially. She said, honey, how was your coffee?
Yeah. I can only imagine the outcome.
And I said, lovely. Tea coffee, wonderful.
Oh my goodness, Deacon. Well, I'm glad you went to McDonald's. Great story. Okay, Popcorn, tell me a quick one before I got to get ready and get the coffee song rolling.
Well, CA, the other day, a lady told me, she said, Popcorn Bob, will you make me the cotton candy popcorn? I said, no problem. I went back there, got distracted. Well,
yeah.
The popcorn that I made that was supposed to have that cotton candy taste to it ended up being a caramel mixed with cotton candy. Lady comes back, she says, oh, I love your new flavor there, popcorn. I need some more. I said, really? So it was kind of a combination of, caramel and cotton candy.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Fellas, you're killing me over here. Goodness gracious, you two are just totally hilarious. They just don't, they don't make them like you two, that's for sure. Well, thank you guys for dropping in and everything. And, you know, I definitely appreciate y'all more than you'd ever know, you know. And we wanted to do a little mini roundtable. I had people, you know, ask me, hey, will you bring the deacon on? He's, of course, you know, deacon's always up here on Fridays. And then they asked if I could bring Popcorn Bob on, and we did. And I wish you guys a great weekend. I hope you enjoy this Billy Graham here shortly. And I want to thank you for all you do. And Bob, we do welcome you to the radio family. The people just love you to death. And I personally want to thank you. And, you know, thanks again for dropping by.
CA, I just want to say thank you. And, of course, Deacon, I want to thank you for the round table. I'm sure we'll have many more challenges, but that was just a little taste. But y'all come by the popcorn store and see me.
Okay, sounds good. And Deacon, any final words?
I just want to say I had a nice time with lovely Popcorn Bob. And the popcorn's good, by the way. I've been trying a couple of them. Thank you, Bob.
Oh, you're welcome, Deacon.
So, anyway, y'all have a good one, okay?
Well, see, hey, before I get ready to close out, again, I just want to tell everybody, you hang in there, stay hydrated, please be safe.
There you go. All right, how about a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning on a Billy Graham Friday?
That sweet aroma something wonderful is about to make my day.
Give me a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning, our Friday song. Wow, how about that? Wasn't it nice to have those guys in there just talking to us and everything? I just really got a kick out of it. Okay, as we get ready, before we get ready to kick Billy Graham off, we're going to do this one by special request. I've played it before. Let's see if I can go to our library here real quick. Okay, here we go. Billy Graham Friday is coming up next.
When I was just a young boy, on the back of my daddy's real estate business card were the words, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" I can't say I knew what it meant back then, y'all, but I sure do now. Father God, I am clay in your hands. I want to stay that way through all life's demands, because they chip and they nag and they pull at me, and every little thing I make up my mind to be.
And kings of this world that fight for our love and our passion. As our eyes are open wide and on you, won't you grant us the privilege of your worldview? And may your kingdom be what wakes us up and lays us down.
I could sing of your love.
Amen. We sure don't want that to happen. We don't want to lose our soul. All right. Well, Billy Graham Fridays. And good morning, everybody. CA on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network here at Central Downtown Fort Worth, Face Studio 1, up top the tower. iHeartRadio Studio, we're just looking like it's just, we're about ready to cook over here. Anybody want to cook hamburgers? Might as well cook eggs downstairs. Okay. Well, anyway, that's just a little bit of comedy. So, hope you've enjoyed our show so far. Now it's even going to get better. I want you to sit back, relax, drink coffee, or if you're working and you want to listen to a good message, this is a good one. Back in 1997, Columbus, Ohio, Billy Graham Fridays. Here we go. Be converted as a little child.
Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to two passages of Scripture. The first one is found in Jeremiah. The 18th chapter. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working on a wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. All the way through Scripture, God uses little things like that. They're parables or little illustrations to illustrate spiritual truth. And he was teaching Jeremiah how God was going to deal with Judah, with Israel, if they didn't turn from their sins because they had been marred by sin. Then the next passage is found in the 18th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. But at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you are converted and become as little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself like a little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humble yourself like a little child. Come to Christ like a little child. In simple childlike faith, and you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. But you have to become like a little child. Today, many of you here have lives like this potter's, like this clay. You've been marred. Each day we read in the newspaper about young people whose lives are marred by abuse, by drugs, by alcohol, sexually transmitted disease. The young people of today are the most analyzed in history. They've lived through a technological revolution. The older generations have several options in looking at young people. I consider myself a young people because sometimes I feel young, most of the time. Well, the older people can either ignore us, or they can worship us, as some do, or resent us, or love us. However, there are millions of young people who have little parental authority. They have no set values, no moral perimeters. They're not told what's right and what's wrong. And young people today have few role models that they can really follow. Some of the role models that they had have come crashing down, and they've become discouraged and disgusted. And many young people today have not been allowed to become children. You became a teenager before you were a child. You have grown up responsibilities and decisions to make. And this puts a tremendous pressure on teenagers as they go through the roughest part of your life. The roughest part of your life is your teenage period. That's when you're changing from a boy to a man or girl to a woman. And it's when the sexual desires are the greatest. It's when the pressures for school are the greatest. And it's tough to be a young person in today's society, and the peer pressure is the toughest. And that's the reason you must take your stand for Christ and let Christ come into your heart and give you supernatural power to live the life in our society. And many young people today live in an unreal world that's been created largely by movies and television. And they have an unrealistic expectation gap. You see, if you see a very complicated situation on television in a film, it's solved within the next 20 or 30 minutes in the movie. And then when that same problem comes before you, you think it ought to be solved immediately. And it may take years, but we expect something to be instant. But there's an emptiness and a loneliness and a lack of purpose in the hearts of many of you. The easy availability of drugs, the uncertainty of the times in which we live, the screaming headlines, and you're searching for peace and joy and pleasure. And the Bible says, in thy presence, in God's presence, is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Do you want real joy? Lasting pleasure? Oh yes, you can have a sex experience and have pleasure for a few minutes. But there is no pleasure comparable to the pleasure that Christ can give you. I feel sorry for people today that have sex without love and have sex without being married. Because in the marriage bond, there's no conscience to bother you. There's nothing but complete ecstasy and a joy and a thrill and an excitement that goes far beyond a sex experience that you have in high school. You didn't know that there was an extra dimension to pleasure that you haven't felt yet. In his presence, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Well, there are thousands of young people today that just goof off. They escape responsibility and run from reality. They're searching for purpose and meaning in their lives. And many of you are asking moral questions. You're wanting to know why. Young people want change. But they have a tendency to ignore sometimes history or even human nature. Young people are searching for hope and security. One well-known man committed suicide, I read about in the paper. He left a note and he said, I have no option. I must kill myself because I'm a man without hope. We've put all the emphasis in our generation on material things of life. Many young people are now rejecting that. And they want something more, but they don't know what it is. That something more is Christ. You'll never find the joy and the pleasure and the fulfillment of life unless you know Christ. Young people are searching for a satisfying and meaningful experience. They take drugs and that destroys. They have sex, but they get bored with that, or they get AIDS. They get involved in violence, but they get hurt or arrested. They have religion, but somehow religion doesn't satisfy. They have the wrong kind of religion. They don't have the personal faith in Christ. You see, you can be a member of the church, and you can be baptized, and you can be confirmed, and all of that in the church, and have a job in the church, but something, there's a void inside. It hasn't really satisfied. There's something lacking. You wonder what it is. It's a personal, daily relationship with Christ that's lacking. And you can find that by beginning tonight to receive Christ into your heart as Lord and Master and Savior. Jesus called it being born again. He called it repenting of sin. He called it entering the narrow gate. He said there are two roads in life. He said there's the broad road. You can have a good time on the broad road. That's where the bright lights are, and that's where Las Vegas is, and that's where all these other places are. You can come down that road. And there's a narrow road. And you enter it by a narrow gate. And it's a hard life. It's not easy, because you're running against the tide of humanity. Most of the people are going down the broad road, but the narrow road is the one that goes right in the middle of the broad road, and you're going against the tide. So you have to have a strong faith, and Christ has to be with you. The Holy Spirit has to help you. I can't live the Christian life. Billy Graham is a total flop when it comes to living the Christian life. The Holy Spirit must live it through me and in me. Now, the Bible talks about the necessity of conversion. You see, you have been marred by sin like that clay that Jeremiah was talking about in the potter. He had ruined that piece of pottery. And if you went out into the hallway or into the display room, he was in the back room making these beautiful things. And out in front, you could see those beautiful pots and things that he made. But they didn't become that way automatically. He had to fashion them on the potter's wheel. They had a little pedal down below, and they had a wheel that turned down there, and they had another wheel up here, and he would fashion them, what he wanted to make. That's what God wants to do with you. He wants to fashion you. He has a plan for your life. Turn your life over to him. Be that pliable clay in his hands, that he can work and fashion and make you a vessel like he's got in his mind for you. But there's a necessity for conversion, to be forgiven of sin. Wouldn't you like to be forgiven of every sin you've ever committed? You see, you commit sins when you don't even know it. There's sins of omission. For example, you passed somebody on the street that needed a helping hand and you didn't give it. Or maybe God spoke to you about giving some money to help somebody in Somalia and you haven't given it. Or maybe God spoke to you about somebody at school that you should smile at and be friends with, that maybe is a lonely person that needs your friendship and you haven't done it. Those are sins of omission. And we are guilty of sins of omission, but we're guilty of sins of commission. That means sins that you deliberately commit, like telling a lie, or having pride, or letting other things take the place of God in your life, which is called idolatry. But you want forgiveness of those sins. That's a part of being converted, to go home tonight and know that every sin is forgiven. It's under the blood of Christ. When God looks at me, he doesn't see Billy Graham. He sees the blood of Christ, which was shed on the cross for me. And it's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's a gift. God just gives it to you if you reach up and receive by faith. But if you're going to get into heaven, you're going to have to be converted. Except ye be converted, ye shall not even enter the kingdom of heaven, the scripture says. What's involved in conversion? First, there has to be a change. A change of view, a recognition of sin as personal guilt and helplessness as far as God is concerned. Then there has to be a change of feeling. You have to be sorry for your sin. There has to be a change of purpose. It's turning from sin to Christ, who died on the cross for you and rose again and is a living Christ. It also means faith. It means to commit, to surrender. Faith means that you commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Those that commit themselves. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. there's an intellectual side to it. You have to believe he's the Son of God, that he died for you, that he rose again, that he's alive. There's an emotional side. You look at him dying on the cross for you and you say, I love him. But primarily, it's your will. You have to say, I will receive him. I will serve him. I will follow him. Will you say that tonight? And let him change your life beginning tonight. Christ appeals to men's wills. In John 5:40, it says, ye will not come to me that you might have life. In Matthew 16, it says, if any man will come after me. It's not just an open mind, it's a surrendered will that leads to salvation. Many times when we get sick, we go to the doctor and he gives a prescription. We take things every day that doctors tell us to take by faith. We don't know what's in them, but because we believe the doctor. Well, I believe Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, I believe that. God has given us a prescription. But first of all, it must be received by faith. It must be taken. It must be applied, or it's no good. And then you become partakers of the nature of God. That's called the new birth. I may talk about that some tomorrow night. You don't inherit it. You don't deserve it. God gives it by grace. And then we must be willing to obey. Throughout the New Testament, there were people that Jesus called and they were converted just like that. Bartimaeus was a blind man at Jericho, in that city we're reading about in the newspapers now. And he was outside begging. And he heard that Jesus was coming down the street. And he cried out, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus turned and spoke and healed him. And he could see Jesus was passing by. Maybe for the last time. In fact, it was the last time he went to Jericho. And if that man hadn't cried out at that moment when he had that opportunity, he might never have been saved from his blindness. Oh, the woman at the well that Jesus met on the Sychar. She had five husbands, had five husbands, and the man she was now living with was not her husband. Jesus said, call your husband. Well, she was right in saying she didn't have a husband. But Jesus knew all about her. And before the day was over, she had been converted and had become an evangelist and was out witnessing for Christ in the streets and won many people to Christ in Sychar, her village. There's a thief on the cross. He was dying. He deserved to die. He was a gangster, a robber, a murderer. And he was dying on one side of Jesus. And in the midst of it all, he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to him, even though he was dying, and said, today you will be with me in paradise. Think of it. All he said was, remember me. That's all he had to say. You don't have to do some great thing or go through some great experience to know Christ. You just come like you are and say, Lord, remember me. By faith, I receive you. I don't understand all about you. I don't understand all about what Billy Graham's been talking about. But I do receive you.
Amen. There we go. And we do receive him and we do love him. And I hope that you all will do that as well. And if there's anything that I can do for you, feel free, guys. We're going to close out with the Brandon Lake song that I love. It's called Praise You Anywhere. Then we're going to lead off in prayer.
Stare down the giant, worship from the lion's den.
There you go. Brandon Lake's new song, Praise You Anywhere. This has been a very blessed day, and I have been blessed just like you guys have. I'm going to tell you, you know, in closing, Billy Graham hit it right. We just come to Christ with childlike faith. It don't matter whether you're 6 years old. See, I came to Jesus at age six. Little history, it was 51 years ago this year. At my parents' house that they still live in, back in the days when the Sunday school teacher came by. I know times have changed since then, but I will tell you this. When you come to Christ with childlike faith, it don't matter again whether you're 6 years old or 90 or even 100 years old. He paid the price for us. Sure, it's great to have money and be wealthy and be rich and live comfortably and enjoy life and travel and see the world as much as you can. Spend time with family and friends. I get it. But isn't it nice to have the greatest rich of all? And that's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And before I lead off in a prayer, if you haven't accepted Jesus right now, now's the accepted time. And I want to help you because I feel it being overwhelmed here at Faith Studio One, Fort Worth, Texas. So if you want to know about Jesus right now, I'm going to help you. Say this simple prayer. Dear Lord, I ask that you forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I accept you in my heart. Forgive me of all my many sins, O God, I pray. God, I know you sent your son Jesus Christ and he died on the cross for my sins and everyone else's sins, and they were nailed to the cross. But right now, on this day, as I open my heart to you, I accept you as my personal Savior. Live and dwell in me forever and ever. For I accept you as my personal Savior, and I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What'd you do? You admit that you're a sinner. It's like simple as ABC. You ask God to forgive you of your sins, which have already been cleared and cleaned. Secondly, you believe. You believe he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross for my sins, your sins, everyone else's sins. And then thirdly, you commit yourself to him. It's not going to be easy being a Christian. You're going to be ridiculed and things like that. But you're working for him and you're working for the kingdom. And you're working to lead and help others. Back in the days, you know, and by the way, congratulations to everyone who did accept Jesus. Text it to me on Text a Prayer or email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Now, I will say this, that the angels are rejoicing. Every time someone gets saved, it's in Scripture, the angels rejoice. They're rejoicing in the Lord because someone accepted Jesus as personal Savior. Why people reject him, I have no idea. And there's going to be a bunch of them that do. But eventually, as Scripture says, every knee shall bow. Bow down before him. You see, he's your creator. He loves you. He cares about you. In times of disappointment, in times of anxiety, in times of disappointments, who's there? God. And he ain't left your side. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. Even as imperfect as he is and others, we thank you. So let's close out in a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for all you do. Thank you for the great lesson from the late Billy Graham on Billy Graham Fridays. God, I just pray you watch over God and protect us. Forgive us of all of our many sins. For we love you. We trust, believe in you. Put all of our faith, hope, and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, this is CA. I'm going to saddle up. I'm going to leave Faith Studio 1. Central Downtown Fort Worth, the iHeartRadio studio in Fort Worth, Texas. Y'all have a great day. Bye for now.